Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
The small island of Guam in the North Pacific Ocean is crawling with snakes. Slithering brown tree snakes are killing the native birds of this beautiful island nation and threatening the people's way of life. These snakes are not native to Guam. They came as stowaways on airplanes and have multiplied by the thousands. They also threaten other islands with whom Guam trades its goods. Just as these deadly snakes are a danger to Guam, so our sins are a danger to us if we don't deal decisively with them. Sins such as lust, sexual impurity and greed dominated the lives of two priestly sons of Eli. Eli was the high priest in the central town of Shiloh. It was here that the tabernacle of the Lord was set up in its first permanent resting place. Eli and young Samuel ministered there before the Lord. Every year the Israelites went to Shiloh to sacrifice and worship Almighty God. Each year Samuel's mother Hannah made a new robe for Samuel and took it to him at the temple when she accompanied her husband Elkanah to offer the annual family sacrifice. At the sacrifice, Eli, the high priest, would bless Elkanah and Hannah and say, "May the Lord give you other children by this woman to take the place of Samuel, whom you dedicated to him." Hannah had been childless for a long time before the Lord gave her Samuel. When the Lord blessed Hannah, she had three more sons and two daughters. Hannah rejoiced greatly in what the Lord had done for her. Meanwhile, at the temple, Samuel continued to grow and learn from Eli how to serve the Lord in Shiloh.
Well, Samuel, my son, again it's time for the yearly sacrifice. You will see your mother again. I hope you have been reasonably happy here in the tabernacle.
Oh, indeed I have been, sir. You've been so kind and understanding.
You're a good boy. You have faithfully done the chores, swept and polished the sanctuary. You've come and gone at my beck and call. You've been a true servant and helper.
One must serve before he can be served.
How true that is. And what a better world this would be if more people realized that. Unfortunately, my own two sons are foolish, disobedient, and completely irreverent to the sanctuary and its services. Oh, how I wish I could change that. But it's too late. I should have done that while they were still young and pliable. I should, even now, take away their robes of priesthood. But I'm a coward. I'm weak, too tolerant of their sins. But you, Samuel, my son, oh, how I wish Hophni and Phinehas were like you. As I get older and older, I am going to shoulder you with more and more of the responsibilities of the priesthood. Well, that should make your mother very happy.
Oh, I knew it, son, I knew it. I knew God would make you a great and powerful man for him and Israel. Already, as young as you are, Eli has given you many priestly duties and responsibilities. Eli is a godly man, Mother. Godly? Well, there's no doubt of that. Yet look at his two sons.
What about them, Mother?
Well, surely you know how they desecrate the house of God and use their positions to further their own wealth and power and evil lusts.
Eli realizes that, too.
Well, then why doesn't he put a stop to it?
He can't. He keeps trying, but they pay no attention to him.
God will punish them, Samuel. You mark my word.
Sin will be punished, Mother. Surely God will not hold Eli responsible for the many sins of his grown sons. Yet, I suppose it's a parent's duty to train up a child in the way he should go.
Samuel! Samuel!
That must have been Eli calling. He said he might need me. I'll be right there, sir. What can I do for you, sir?
Do for me? What do you mean?
You called me, sir.
I called you?
I heard my name called.
Oh, it wasn't me. You may have been dreaming. Go back to your room, Samuel, my son, and go to sleep.
Yes, sir.
Samuel! Samuel!
There it is again. Eli calling me. Here I am, sir. I'll be right there. You called me, sir? I distinctly heard you this time.
But I did not call you. Go back to bed.
Yes, sir.
Samuel! Samuel!
That is Eli calling. He must be the one who dreams. I better go to him anyway, though. Here I am, sir.
Samuel, perhaps the Lord God of Israel calls thee, son. Go, lie down, and perchance you hear your name called again. Answer and say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Samuel!
Speak, for thy servant heareth.
Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken. Did the voice call to you the fourth time?
Yes, sir.
It was the Lord calling you?
Yes, sir.
And you were given a message for me?
Not exactly, sir.
But it concerned me.
Yes, sir.
Tell me, what did the Lord say unto you?
I'd rather not tell you, sir.
Yes, I can well understand why. But Samuel, my son, you are to be a prophet. It is never easy to be the mouthpiece of God. But be strong and fearless. You are a mere youth, a child of only 12. But you must learn not to be afraid of anything when God is on your side. So tell me what the Lord said, my son. Hide nothing from me.
The sons of Eli did not honor and love the Lord like Eli, but they chose to serve themselves. Not only were they treating the offerings of the Lord with disrespect, they were performing other immoral acts too. This displeased the Lord greatly. Eli was getting old, and although he was aware of what his sons were doing, he didn't do anything about it. Even a prophet came to Eli and warned him what would happen if he didn't intervene. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, the Lord says to Eli, I will honor those who honor me, and I will treat with contempt those who despise me, and no one in your family will ever again live to old age. I will choose a priest who will be faithful to me and do everything I want him to do. This priest was to be Samuel. As Samuel grew up, he learnt to listen, obey, and serve the Lord. The Lord made everything that Samuel said to Eli come true. Then all the Israelite people knew that Samuel was indeed a prophet of the Lord. A man wrote a guidebook to teach amateur repairmen how to fix a particular electric machine. The man knew that often repair people don't have enough respect for the power of electricity. Studies have shown that it only takes a small amount of electricity to cause the muscles in a person's hand to paralyze. This in turn stops the person from letting go, and soon their heart muscles become paralyzed too. This is a fatal situation. And so it is with sin. People dabble with sin because they don't fear its power to paralyze the muscles of their ever-living soul. Then it's too late. Even when people know a sinful behavior is hurting them and they want to quit, they can't go on in their own strength. Sin is never safe. The solution is to say no to sin. Romans chapter 6 says, "Sin must no longer rule in your mortal bodies, so that you obey the desires of your natural self. Instead, give yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and surrender your whole being to Him to be used for righteous purposes." When we've become believers in the Lord Jesus, we need to respond to life's troubles in a manner that corresponds to our new life. We must ask God to help us overcome the instant bad reactions to frustrations and irritations we used to explode with before we became a Christian. Our behavior is to be more and more like the example of Jesus' life in the Bible. We're to adopt the mind of Christ and approach sin the way His Spirit shows us to. When sinful desires enter our minds, we need to discipline ourselves to be the kind of person God wants us to be. Like Samuel in training, we need to practice by listening, obeying, and serving the Lord until it comes naturally. If we're unconcerned or weak in dealing with our sin habits, like the snakes of Guam, the sin in our lives will grow and multiply. They'll destroy our effectiveness for doing the Lord's work. Back in the year AD 79, an earthquake was followed by a volcanic eruption from Mount Vesuvius in Italy. The resulting mud flows and clouds of ash smothered two nearby cities. The captain of a ship offshore wrote descriptions of the events of that day and sent them to a historian. Vesuvius has erupted 50 times since then. In 1631, after another major eruption, the clean-up workers stumbled on the remains of the city of Pompeii. A further 300 years later, the city ruins were excavated. So swift had been the destruction of Pompeii that people were caught doing their normal tasks of life. Sadly, those people need not have died from the poisonous gases coming from the volcano in that eruption, but they ignored weeks of ground rumblings and the telltale smoke coming from the top of the mountain. God gives us warnings too. These days, the signs are of many wars and rumors of war, the breakdown of moral standards, earthquakes, economic woes, and nuclear threats across the globe. The Bible book Matthew chapter 24 warns of bad times ahead, but people need not be caught unprepared. God has prepared a way of escape for those who ask Him. Once we have given our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, we gain eternal life. Romans chapter 6 says, "God's free gift is eternal life in union with Christ Jesus, our Lord. Through faith in Christ, we become children of the Heavenly Father. By the power of the Spirit of God in us, we're then able to develop the habit of submitting to God's Word, the Bible." The Apostle Paul writes in the second book to Timothy, a Christian pastor in the first century, "All Scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, and giving instruction for right living, so that the person who serves God may be fully qualified and equipped to do every kind of good deed." Are you now willing to deal with the sin in your life? Ask God to show you His way and give you true life, one that lasts into eternity without the fear of God's judgment for sin. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it, but be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.